Your world, your challenges, your faith. When faith within engages the world without, there's power. It's living life from the inside out.
How can you know if your church is really welcoming to special needs families? I'm Martha Manikas Foster, and today on Family Life's Inside Out, we'll talk about this with my guest Sandra Peebles, who last visited with us in 2016. Sandra is an author and seminary-trained inclusion coordinator for her church. She has the practical connection to the topic as both a special needs mother and sibling. Her recent Gospel Coalition article caught my eye. It's titled, Four Ways to Be a Welcoming Church to Special Needs Families. Sandra is also the author of three books, Unexpected Blessings, The Joys and Possibilities of Life in a Special Needs Family, Held, Learning to Live in God's Grip, and Everyday Prayers for the Special Needs Mom, all of which were published since the last time we talked. Welcome back to Inside Out, Sandra.
Thank you so much for having me again.
Sandra, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the church emerging from the pandemic and how congregations have a chance to rethink how they relate to their communities, the communities around the churches. It seems like it would be such a great opportunity, and I'd like to talk about how that interfaces with special needs families. But before we talk about how the church can be welcoming to special needs families, I thought it would be good for you to start us off with this. What do you see as the characteristics of a church that feels inviting to special needs families?
Well, that is a great place to start. Special needs families are so used to there being barriers to things that we want to do. There are barriers in the school system. There's barriers sometimes with the doctors that we see. And so the last place we want to face barriers is when we go to church. Mm. And so lots of us, if we're looking for a new church, the first place we look is on their website. Does it look like they welcome special needs families? Are there special needs families in the pictures that they have of their church? Is there any kind of special needs ministry listed under ministries or even under children's ministry? That's where you'll find it most often. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking for those things that tell us even before we pull up on a Sunday morning that this church might be welcoming to us. And a lot of that has to do with the leadership. You know, are they open and are they leading the way in welcoming families like ours? And does that trickle down to all the ministries being welcome?
Mm. So in your experience, and you have a vast experience as someone who consults and is really not just involved in your own church, how likely is it that a church is already doing well at embracing special needs families?
Well, I think that's interesting. In fact, Lifeway Research did a study on this right before the COVID pandemic, mm-hmm. and what they found was that nearly every pastor, 99%, and almost every churchgoer, 97%, says that someone with a disability would feel welcomed and included at their church. Now, what's interesting is when I talk to families, mm-hmm. you're not finding 99% of families who agree with that stat. And so there's a disconnect there between what pastors believe to be true about their church and what families are actually experiencing. And so part of that is just the wide variety of disabilities. So if you ask a pastor, would a person with a disability be welcome at my church? And they think, well, yeah, we have a ramp that could get somebody in a wheelchair through the front door, so we are welcoming or we are accommodating. Well, that fits one part of the population mm-hmm. of special needs families, but that doesn't fit my family, you know, with a sister with Down syndrome and a son with autism. And so part of what we do is just kind of open the eyes of pastors and even other churchgoers to the wide variety of needs. And it may feel intimidating to them at first to think, oh, I have to plan for every possible mm-hmm. person who could walk in the door. But I like to say, no, you're just called to love the ones that do walk through the door. You don't have to prepare for every possibility that could. And so a lot of that just comes from a willing heart and a listening ear to learn from these families what they need to feel welcome at their church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what do you think prevents congregations from seeing and filling the need?
Well, I think they're just intimidated by all of the possibilities. I think, you know, we're all scared of what we don't know, what mm-hmm. we don't have experiences with. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the most welcoming and inclusive churches, you often talk to the pastor and he has a family member with a disability or he has a cousin or a connection or somebody on the church leadership has a family member with a disability. And so that opens doors. I like to say every church that welcomes us gets better at welcoming the next family that comes. And
sure.
Special needs families, sometimes we have to lead the way and we have to have talks with the pastor or the leadership of the church and say, hey, you know, we'd love for you to get to know our family better. I know it feels intimidating. My husband is a pastor, mm-hmm. and so I know what it feels like during his normal week of all the demands on the time and the money and the space. And they think, well, where are we going to put these kids and who's going to teach them? And what are we going to do when the children become teenagers and the teenagers become adults? It just feels so overwhelming. But, man, we have just seen God faithful time and time again to raise up volunteers in churches and to provide space and even money to meet the needs. And you know, I mean, we have always been in small to medium-sized churches, and I think a lot of times we leave special needs ministry to the big guys.
Uh-huh.
But that prevents so many families from being able to access church because they may not want to go to a big church or they may not live close enough to a big church to be able to go. So, uh-huh. you know, small and medium-sized churches, I think that's a new opportunity for us to say, you know, we can do this. It doesn't mean we have to have all the bells and whistles or everything that the big guys have, but what special needs families are looking for is just to know that their children are loved and that they're safe, and every church can do that.
Mm. I know from personal experience that it wasn't until I was accompanying somebody who is a quadriplegic that I even noticed just how difficult it is to go over a curb if there isn't a curb cut. Or just the height of a sink in a hotel room, or the width of a doorway in a hotel room to the bathroom. I didn't even notice those things until I had a friend who needed those things, and I became hyper aware and have been ever since in my life. So, yes, some of it is not seeing because we don't have the experience, but if we ask the questions of people who have the experience, then we can have eyes to see, I'm hearing you say. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Exactly.
Well, in addition to having eyes to see, Sandra, how might churches incorporate a sensitivity to special needs families in their new normal as they open up? Or perhaps some churches didn't go virtual at all during the pandemic, but it just seems like this great opportunity right now as many churches are opening up to say, what are our priorities and how might we do things differently or better than we'd done before? What practical steps can a church take to welcome and serve special needs families?
Well, I do agree with you that this is an amazing opportunity. I mean, the COVID season opened people's eyes to isolation and what special needs families and adults with disabilities experience when they are isolated. And so most of us didn't have access to our church, and so we have more empathy now for families that don't have access to a church on any Sunday because of the limitations on where they can go and what they can do and where they feel comfortable. And so I'm hoping, I'm praying that pastors and church leadership will remember what that felt like, and they will want to remove barriers so that other families don't continue to feel that way. And a lot of it is just asking questions and being open. There are lots of adult advocates, those are adults with disabilities, who are paving the way, and you say, man, you know what? What do we need to do to help you feel more welcome? Or or what steps can we take? Like for us, our son James is 13, and so when he goes into the worship service, the sounds are a little overwhelming to him, and the lights are a little overwhelming. Mm-hmm. And so we use the very simple help of noise-reducing headphones, and we have those available if anybody needs them, and it just kind of lowers the volume. He can still hear, but it kind of muffles it, so it's not overwhelming to him.
Right.
And so, you know, if you're still printing bulletins, doing those in large print for people who have vision issues, and you know, you just kind of look around your church and you say, who do we have that we could ask questions of that would make them feel more comfortable. And then once those families feel more comfortable, they'll invite their friends.
Uh-huh.
And it just, like, I feel like special needs families are missionaries. We have this mission field of other families like ours. And once we know a church welcomes us and makes accommodations for us, then we'll invite everybody we know, because we're all looking for connection and community and the gospel, even if we don't know
right.
that the gospel's what's missing from our lives. It truly is. And, you know, I've just seen that again and again, where we just say, okay, let's meet the needs of the families we have, and then let's keep reaching more and more families.
And if a church currently doesn't have any families with special needs, how would they start?
Well, they would probably start with what is most wide in their community. So like mm-hmm. an autism family is 8 times less likely to attend church than a typical family. And we know autism numbers are really high. And mm-hmm. so that may be a place to start. And so like at our church, we have a sensory friendly room. And so we have like a ball pit and a trampoline. And so we post that on our Facebook page mm-hmm. and we say, hey, you know, we have these accommodations and we love special needs families, and here's what we would do if you came, you know, take mm-hmm. all the mystery out of it, mm-hmm. take the fear out of it, show people what it would be like to come to your church and what you would do to meet their needs. And most churches, if you start asking around, you have people who attend who are special education teachers mm-hmm. or therapists or family members. And they have these gifts and these talents and abilities that God has given them, and they don't know that they could use those at church, right? Not everybody even thinks, man, what I do for my day job could really bless some families on a Sunday morning.
Mm-hmm.
So you equip the people who have the skills and abilities, and then you bring in more who just have the passion for it and the love for it, and you build that support system, and then pray for those families to come in. And we do a lot of outreach in our community. Like, we do sensory friendly movies that we invite our community to.
Mm-hmm.
We do respite nights. And so we communicate through the school system. We say, okay, that, you know, like 4 or 5 times a year, we have a couple of hours at the church, and you can bring your kids with disabilities and their typical siblings. And we have trained staff that will hang out with them and help them have a good time for like 3 hours, so that mom or dad or whoever the caregivers are can have a break, go to Walmart,
right,
go out
right.
to dinner, go do whatever they don't normally get to do because of the responsibilities of caregiving. And so there's lots of opportunities for community outreach through this ministry as well.
We all do long for community. And from what you're saying and what you've written, certainly it seems like it would be God's hand in it if churches could make it possible for that kind of community, for people who are yearning for it because of the special needs in their families.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's like when Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, and we just look out at our communities and we can see that there's so many people hurting and so many people who just don't have access or don't think that they have access to what churches provide: the gospel, community, encouragement. And families like mine, we bless the churches that we attend too. Like, we live out what it means to suffer, and some of us long suffering, and still have faith and still be able to grow. And so the special needs families at our church are the first ones I look to when I need encouragement, or I just need to remind myself, man, God is faithful, and I can see that in the lives of these families around me. And so, I mean, as much as we're talking about how churches can open their doors and bless families, I feel like families can turn around and bless the churches that they attend just as much as they are being blessed.
Oh, what a beautiful message and a truth. Thank you for what you write and for the work that you do and for joining me here on Inside Out, Sandra.
Oh, sure. I always appreciate the opportunity.
I've been talking with author Sandra Peoples, special needs coordinator at her Houston area church and ministry consultant to the Southern Baptists of Texas Convention. You can learn more about Sandra Peoples and her books at sandrapeoples.com. I'm Martha Menikas Foster with Inside Out on Family Life.